The first day of the week, John 21 through 9, cometh Mary Magdalene early. This was the lady that had seven devils. She was a prostitute. She had been converted. And she perhaps loved Jesus in a way and more than many of the other disciples, because he said that whosoever is forgiven little, loveth little, but whosoever is forgiven much, loveth much. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, in the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. Now, whenever this expression is used, the other disciple, if he isn't named, it's always John. John is apparently a very mild-mannered, meek man, and he doesn't ever refer to himself directly by name. He says to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's him, John, who wrote the book, and saith unto them. He speaks in the second person all the time. They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Now notice, one of the most difficult things I've had in my ministry when I deal and present things is to convince people about something. And I think I finally got the church here convinced, but a lot of other places they have trouble with it. A lot of people want to believe that the disciples knew a whole lot more than they knew. And they like to believe that the whole time they were walking around with Jesus, they had faith in him, that he was going to be crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead, and that they believed exactly the same thing about Jesus that we believe. That isn't true at all. They believed he was the Messiah. But nobody really understood what Jesus was about to do. Every time he tried to tell them, it just went in one ear and out the other. Up until the time that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and up until that time, people were saved if they believed that God was going to send a Messiah and he would save them. They had no idea how. They just believed that this Messiah was going to save them. And he would come and he would do something that could crush the power of Satan. And if they had their faith in God's promise that the Messiah would come and God would send him, they were just as saved as we are. But they did not understand. And I don't think the Lord necessarily expected them to. He certainly didn't get irritated about it. He even cried about it once. Peter therefore went. Well, notice what she said. They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Now, why didn't she say, he is risen from the dead? She just thought that somebody had come and taken him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, John, and came to the sepulchre. They both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. So John outran Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, John, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. He looked in. He saw the clothes that Christ was buried in there. He saw the kerchief, the napkin that was around his head. And he didn't go in. But then Simon Peter followed him and went into the sepulchre and see it clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple. Now here comes John. He's going in now. Which came first to the sepulchre. And he saw, now notice this next expression. He saw and believed. That was the first time John believed in the resurrection. That was the first time he understood that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. They had never understood it. They thought he was the Messiah. They believed he was the Messiah. And that's what saved them. Their faith that he was a fulfillment of the promise that God had made all the way back in Genesis 3:15, where he promised he would send a seed from a woman, and that seed would crush the power of Satan, his head, but that in so doing, he would have his own body bruised and beaten, his heel, wounded and bruised. Now notice what this says next. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. You have no idea how many missionary Baptist deacons have given me a hard time on this. They think that Jesus walked around with the disciples and they understood all this stuff. They didn't know zip. They just simply believed that this man was the one that God promised in the Old Testament, and that he was going to come. And they thought that the traditional teaching concerning Messiah was correct. That's the problem with traditional teaching. The traditional teaching of the Messiah was he would come, raise a great army, defeat the Romans, cast off the Roman yoke, and set them free to be a living, prosperous nation. That's what they thought. But they were wrong. And the reason they were wrong is because they did not follow the scripture. They followed the traditional teaching of the priests and of the other scribes who taught the people, and they taught them wrong. And that traditional teaching had been so embedded in their minds that they simply would not listen when Jesus told them what was going to happen. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Right there is the first time John ever believed that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Now, maybe this scripture will be more coherent, clearer, because you've seen me use it many times. And this makes my point. In Mark, the 10th chapter, while Jesus was still alive, and they were going down to Jerusalem, and they were actually going to go to the time when he was crucified at Passover, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. In other words, why is he going down here if his life is threatened? And as they followed, they were afraid. They thought, man, they're going to kill him. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen to him. Now notice what he said. This is clear and concise. Saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man must be delivered to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day, he shall rise again. They didn't even pay attention to what it said in Moody's Goose. And I just proved to you that not a one of them ever believed he was resurrected from the dead until John finally went in there and looked. Didn't even say Peter believed at that time. John saw that with the napkin, clothes were there, Jesus wasn't there, and he believed he'd been resurrected from the dead. It requires a great deal less faith than some people think to be saved. And they give the disciples a lot of credit for believing a lot of things. They didn't believe until after he was resurrected. Now, how do I know that this went in one ear and out the other? And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we wish thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said to them, what would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may set one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in glory. It just didn't register. They didn't pay any attention to what he said. It just went in one ear and out the other. Why? Because of the traditional teaching. In many of our missionary Baptist churches, we've got more traditional teaching than people realize. And it's been taught for so long and so hard and so frequently that people won't pay attention to the Bible. They just take what they've been taught all their years and assume that every single solitary bit of it is true. And this has been perpetuated in our churches for a very long period of time. And there's no way it'll be changed. You can talk to the people in the churches, and you can tell them about this and tell them about that and prove it to them from the Bible. But that's not what my grandfather said. That's not what my former pastor said. And they go on and on and on. And they actually take the traditions that men have established rather than what the Bible says. And the reason that the Jews missed Jesus and didn't receive him is because Jesus did everything the Bible said he was supposed to do, but none of it matched what the traditional teachings indicated. So they wanted him, they thought it was going to bring in a king right then and there. They were headed toward Jerusalem. They thought, well, he's going to raise an army now. And when he made his triumphant entrance into the city, oh, they thought sure he was going to raise an army. Everybody was laying down palm leaves and trees and saying, Hosea, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. They thought, okay, now he's going to bring in the kingdom. But instead they crucified him. And he told them they were. They didn't listen. John 11, 20 through 35. Now we're going to go back to John, where we were. But we're gonna keep it, John. But what we're talking about is the verse of Scripture that has to do with the resurrection of Jesus. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him. Now, we're way back in John 11. Remember, we started off back here in John 21 through 9. We came all the way down to verse 9. And the first time John ever believed was when he went into the sepulcher. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They didn't have any idea Jesus was going to rise from the dead until after John was the first one of them that ever believed. Now let's go back and let's look at John 11, 20 through 35, because it gives an account that shows how much their unbelief bothered him. John 11, 20 through 35. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that John was coming, went and met him. But Mary was still at the house, Mary and Martha. Mary of Bethany, Martha of Bethany. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now, look at what she said. She said, I know that whatsoever, I know that even now, right now, with him dead, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. You think she meant that, why don't you raise him from the dead, Jesus? You think that's what she meant? Jesus saith unto him, thy brother shall rise again. He said, okay, I'll resurrect him. Thy brother shall rise again. He said, okay, I'll do it. Notice what she said. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She didn't any more believe Jesus could resurrect him from the dead than Moody's goose. Jesus answered what she said. She said, I know, whatever you ask, the Lord will do it. Jesus said, okay, thy brother shall rise again. He said, okay, I'll resurrect him. But Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall raise again at the resurrection at the last day. She said, oh, you know, Lord, I know that you're going to resurrect him at the last day. I know the Lord will. But notice what Jesus said. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. See that I am? Ego eimi. You remember what the Lord told Moses to tell the children of Israel? He said, tell them I am hath sent thee. He was God. He was God and is God. And God is the one who has the power of resurrection. And Jesus said unto her, he said, you don't have to wait till the last day, Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Lazarus had believed in him as the Messiah. He said, I can resurrect him from the dead, Martha. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You want to know what must really grieve God? People that believe Jesus died on the cross for their sins, but they don't believe that he loves them enough to have paid the full price. And they're afraid he's not going to resurrect them from the dead and take them to heaven if they don't live up to what God expects of them after they're saved. If anything ought to make Jesus weep, that ought to make him weep. He has the power of resurrection. Now here's the promise he made to me and to anyone who'll accept it. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, but he's been resurrected from the dead, he paid the price for your sins, buried them with him, removed them as far as east as west from you, ascended up into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father, having all power in heaven and earth. That's what the Scripture says. Now, do you think he's going to send you to hell? Do you think he's going to spiritually separate you from him? Do you think that he'll put you back under the condemnation of God and you'll suffer spiritual death again? No. He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? You'd be surprised how few people believe that. But I do. There is no sin I can commit. There is no horrible act I can ever perform that would ever separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I will never go back under the spiritual condemnation of God. That's what death is. It's a separation. I was born spiritually dead. I was made alive in Christ Jesus the moment I trusted in him to hear my prayer. What? He had to be alive to hear my prayer. And that's how much faith you have to have. You have to believe he's alive. That's the resurrection. And when you ask him, he saves you. Many people say, oh, it can't be that way. That's what grace is. And that's why I thank God for it. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. They believed he was the Messiah. And they were saved, just as saved as you and I are saved. They didn't have to understand what he was going to do for their sin. They just had to believe the word, the promise of God. That's changed now. The promise now is completed and fulfilled. You have to believe in the resurrection of Christ. You have to believe his work is finished. It's done. Now you know who the Messiah is. And you can put your faith directly in him. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. This is a woman that every time Jesus came to Bethany, she always sat at his feet and she always listened to his word. This is a woman who Jesus loved very much, and she loved Jesus very much, and it's the only sinful human being in the Bible that Jesus ever established a memorial for. So here comes Mary. She has tremendous faith. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that he rose up hastily and went out following her, that she rose up hastily and went out following her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come unto Jesus and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. You see, and she didn't understand either that Jesus could resurrect him from the dead right then and there. How would you feel? And there's no way you can really tell, but just as a proposition. If you had been the Son of God, perfect, sinless, with all the power of the Father, and you had ministered to people for more than 3 years, and they had failed to realize that you were the one that was in the garden when they were created in Adam, how would you feel if out of your great love, you wanted them to see your amazing grace, and the power that you had to save them from what they were, and they had no idea what you were talking about, largely through the traditional teaching, false teaching, of the scribes and Pharisees. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now don't tell me, don't even think, that Jesus Christ was groaning in the spirit because he himself was concerned about poor old dead Lazarus, and he was going to have to wait for the resurrection. He was troubled because of the fact that all those people did not believe he had the power to resurrect and to bring back to life anyone at any time he chose. So what did he do? And said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And I think he wept because of the lack of faith that people had. I don't pretend to understand the emotions of God. I'd be insane to do that. But I do believe that The scriptures teach that there are certain things that anger God. It's righteous indignation. It's not sin on his part. And I'm not defending God. God doesn't need any defense. And God is grieved. Yes, he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and he's perfect. But it grieves God when people have so little faith in him. When people sin, Christ has already paid the price for that sin if you're a believer. And certainly God doesn't like sin. But what really must grieve God is when people have so little confidence in him and so little awareness of how really gracious and merciful and the power he has to keep them forever. John 20, 10 through 23. Now we're going to continue in John 20, expositing through the book. There's one more chapter after this, chapter 21. John 20, 10 through 23. Then the disciples went away into their own home, but Mary stood at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and see if two angels in white, setting the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not why they have laid him. Now notice, she didn't believe he'd been resurrected from the dead, because she thought somebody had come and taken away his body, and she wanted to know where they took it. She didn't believe he'd been resurrected from the dead. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Now, a lot of commentators say, well, she'd been crying. That's true. And her eyes were filled with tears. And that's true. And through those tears, she couldn't recognize Jesus. Well, that may have some validation. And certainly, looking through tear-filled eyes does tend to blur the vision. However, Mary had never seen Jesus in a glorified body. And I'm sure that he had some radiance about him, as he did on the Mount of Transfiguration, and certainly that passing through the water would have caused it to be even blurrier. But I think the reason that she didn't recognize him is because he did not look precisely and exactly like he did in a physical body that he once occupied, and there were some slight differences. And so I think that's why she didn't recognize him. But regardless of why she did or did not, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Now, the one thing that she had heard all of her life was his voice, at least during his 3.5-year ministry, or most of it. She had heard his voice for 3 years. I can hear Imogene's voice, and I know instantly it's her. I don't have to see her. And she can hear mine and know it's me. And so suddenly when he said this by his voice, which was the same, Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, that's why he was certainly a little different, If thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. See, she still didn't believe he'd been resurrected from the dead. Now, I'm going to suggest something here that may or may not be correct, and so I've told you that in advance. I think the reason she didn't recognize him, the primary recognition is, how could it be Jesus? How could that possibly be Jesus? You see, she didn't believe Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. And if all of a sudden they put me in a casket down here and bury me, and a week later I walk in the front door, Imogene's going to be shocked, but she can't believe that's me. And she'd start trying immediately to try to find things that were different. And because she did not believe it was the Lord, I think that also played into it. But that's just opinion on my part. Jesus saith unto her, Mary, when he said her name. Now that's a certain thing, the way people say your name. Honey, that's when Imogene wants something. Honey, that's when she really wants something. Tom, that's when I'm in trouble. I can tell from her voice. Kenneth, do you understand that? They have a certain way about them, don't they? Kenneth. It's different, isn't it? It's a lot different. And so he recognized her voice immediately. Jesus said unto her, Mary, she turned himself and said unto her, Rabboni, or Master, which is to say, Master. Jesus said to her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Now that's a long, complicated thing here. And I've taught it here before in this church, and I'll teach it again. But I'm going to skip that part because it takes a long time. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. It means the doors were locked. They were shut. It means they were afraid of the Jews. They'd assembled. But they were there. And all of a sudden, bingo, right in the midst of them, Jesus appears out of nowhere. In the Old Testament, you have constant reference to angels suddenly appearing as men, not with wings. Cherubim have wings, but those aren't what you call angels. The little angel for cherubim for Easter, perhaps, and for Valentine's Day. But these were men. All angels were men. They didn't have wings. That's something that the Italian artist created. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace be unto you. So there he was, and he manifested himself to them. And this is where they all believed. And peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. That's when they all believed. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. All right. This is where a scripture is fulfilled that Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He said that in I think the 16th chapter of John. He had told them he was going to die. And he said, don't worry. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now Jesus empowered the whole church at Pentecost. But he organized the church during his earthly ministry. Now, the Pharisees did say one thing to Jesus that was correct, and Jesus did not correct them for saying it. They said, who can forgive sin but God? God is the only one can forgive sin. I mean completely eradicate them and absolutely forgive them. We can forgive those that trespass against us. But to completely eradicate sin, original sin, the sin with which we were born, only God can do that. Now when Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. He came to them with the power of God through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And when he had said this, now notice, he is sending them out. What's he sending them out to do? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. That's what he sent them out to preach. Paul said, I came to you in much fear and trembling, and determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's the gospel. That's the truth. Christ saves completely. So he breathed on them. He sent them out. He breathed on them. And what they preached, the gospel, by the power of the Spirit, God's Spirit, which Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you, and he did. And it is the Spirit that convicts. It is the Spirit that forgives. It is the Spirit that retains sins of those who do not believe the gospel. But notice, he did this just before he sent them out. And when he had said this, though so send I you, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, they were saved. They already knew him as Messiah. They were heaven bound. They were born again children of God. So he breathed on them. Now, what does it mean, breathe on them? He said, receive you the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. And then they went forth and preached it. God called me to preach the gospel. And I don't have the power to forgive sin. But the gospel that the Spirit called me to preach, and the Spirit that indwells me, and the Spirit that leads me, when I preach the gospel, it is by the power of Christ in me. And those who believe it, their sins are remitted. Not for me or by me, but because of the Holy Spirit and the word that is presented. And that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And the Catholic Church today uses that scripture to teach that a priest can forgive you of your sins. That is not true, and I have taken it in context and shown it to you. No one has the power to remit your sins except the Holy Spirit of God who convicted you. And no one has the power to make you keep your sins except the Holy Spirit of God, who will cause you to keep them if you do not believe the gospel that he himself empowers men to preach. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted to them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But he went through all this breathing and telling them he was going to send them to let people know the message that these men have. If you believe it, your sins are remitted. If you don't believe it, your sins are retained, because the message has the power of God's Spirit. What do you think of that, Ken? Pretty interesting, isn't it? Reckon Donald's going to get to go to heaven?